This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one is, well, opening night was last night. We're going to play some of the highlights from that. Bob, Dusty, Mac were down there. They had a chance to also talk with Clark Hunt this morning. He acknowledged what Andy Reid ultimately would confirm about an hour or so ago as well. Not that there was, I don't think in Kansas City.
I'm not going anywhere. No one thought he was leaving.
He's like, I'll be back next year. That's an outside of Kansas City thing. Also, he did confirm the Chiefs are healthy. No injuries to report heading into this one on Sunday.
All good news, obviously, from the Chiefs. The fact that no new injuries occurred, and now they get to just have the slightly lighter but weirder week of Super Bowl week. We know how this goes.
Yeah, they'll talk a few other times at these various convention centers or hotels or whatever. Plus, of course, Sunday, the game right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
Next up on What's Trending, Kansas got a win, 69-52 over number 8 Iowa State at Allen Fieldhouse last night. Iowa State, who looked like the best team in the country for a little while, just got its ass kicked two times in a row by the state of Kansas. K-State over the weekend and then Kansas last night. K-State will actually be back in action tonight against Arizona State. That game at 9 o'clock tonight.
Out west.
That's what happens when you got teams and other conferences that don't care about the time. That game right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Next on What's Trending, Cooper Kupp is going to be traded. The Rams informing him that that is their plan. They said they'll work with him on a potential destination where he could end up. We were taking a look at landing spots. The Chargers, one of the top odds, 3-1. Pittsburgh right there, 3.5-1, and the Houston Texans and Patriots, the other top five teams or so, to land Cooper Kupp services. The question for him, he's 31 years old. We all know how productive he can be. Can he stay healthy? He's missed over 16 games in the last 3 years, so that's what you're getting. And I think if you're the Patriots, that trade makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, reliable when he plays.
Yeah,
and obviously a good target for your quarterback. The upside obviously is pretty big. Price tag is what's going to maybe scare some teams off. I think there's some thought that he's going to need to rework his deal in order to find the proper landing spot. Next up on What's Trending, Bills All-Pro safety Micah Hyde has announced that after 12 seasons in the NFL, he's retiring. He's going to hang him up after this previous letdown against the Chiefs in the AFC title game. The All-Pro safety Micah Hyde, who's been a very, very, very good player in this league, he's decided to retire.
That is What's Trending here on Cody and Golden.
It was a great duo, Poyer and Hyde. I mean, those two guys ran the league two of the better safeties in the league for a little while. They're not on the team together anymore, but you get the point.
They're going to reconstruct that defense in Buffalo. Maybe it includes Myles Garrett. We'll get to that maybe tomorrow. Some of the odds are out there on potential landing spots for Myles Garrett.
True.
Opening night last night in New Orleans. You might have caught on NFL Network, or hopefully you were paying attention to our social media channels from the guys that are in New Orleans providing some content there on Instagram in particular, 96.5 The Fan. They talked to Clark Hunt this morning, and I want to start there because Clark Hunt, owner of the Chiefs, discussed the future of Andy Reid on the show, and they also then talked to Mike Florio later, which was great because we all know the background for the last year or so about the reports of Andy's retiring. Here's what Clark Hunt said about Andy Reid being back.
Yeah, I was always surprised when I heard those rumors because I know how much fun Andy's having. He in a lot of ways, I think, is rejuvenated by the success the team's had. Certainly, he's matched with the quarterback that's a perfect complement for him and Patrick. And I know he loves what he's doing. I'm glad we haven't heard any of those rumors this year. I know for a fact he's going to be back next year, so we'll get there when we get there. But I think Andy loves what he's doing, and he's going to do it for a long time.
So Clark Hunt ending.
Do it for a long time, he said.
And then the guys had Mike Florio on, which is great because of all the articles for the last couple of years. And they asked him, like, hey, what do you make now? Clark Hunt is saying that he's coming back.
No offense. I'm glad you were wrong on that one. We get to keep Andy.
Let me clarify, because people believe what they want to believe, right, and they take whatever they hear and they twist it into something other than what I actually said. The Chiefs were bracing for the possibility he was going to retire after last year's Super Bowl. That is 1,000% true, if that's even mathematically possible, and I know it's not. But they were bracing for the possibility he was going to retire. Now, was it a leverage play to get his contract fixed? Maybe it was. Maybe if they weren't going to fix that contract, he gets to a point where he says it's not worth it for whatever he was making before. He got his raise, and now he's locked in. He'll catch Bill Belichick if he can physically continue. He might catch Don Shula as long as it takes for him to get there. But, yeah, he's locked in, and he's still there. But as of last year, the Chiefs were bracing for the possibility because they were scoping out potential replacements. That's how I knew about it. They wanted to be ready in the event that Andy Reid walked away. That's 100% or 1,000% or 1,000,000% true. At the end of the day, he didn't. He got his contract. And now it's not even a question. It's not even a question whatsoever. He's going to continue.
So he is now saying,
well, he's backtracked. He's definitely saying it's without a question.
He's absolutely
learned
backtracked.
His lesson.
So his thing now is that Andy Reid's agent and him were potentially using.
So you fell for the ruse.
Potentially using him and others to get an extension for money. I just don't buy that.
And others? It was just him.
I don't buy that Clark Hunt wasn't willing to give him essentially whatever he wanted based off of what he's done for this franchise. I don't buy it. I think he was wrong.
You got fooled.
You were wrong about the potential of him retiring. He has since signed an extension, and this year you didn't write it. So I don't know if you'll write one in 3 years or what you'll do, but I still don't buy it, man. Like I appreciate him going on the station. I'm glad he got a chance to talk to Bob and Dusty. It was a really good interview. I'm not buying it. It's a lot of backtracking.
Yeah, come on. He was wrong. It's okay. Like, and that's another, you just talked about industry stuff. It is okay to admit when you were wrong. I have been wrong on players, games, things. It happens. It's fine. Nobody judges you. They judge you when you were unwilling to admit it. You fell for an agent's trap. An agent's like, I think they're even looking at other coaches. Andy might have said to walk away. He might quit this whole thing. Like Andy was ever going to walk away from football. Get the hell out of here. And then you fell for it because you wanted to be like the guy who was standing tall and correct in the end. And then you hide behind the guys that is always the like, all I said is that it was a possibility that they could. Farming for clicks.
Doesn't it kind of sound like Schefter when he put out the whole refs thing and went on McAfee's show and kind of tried to give that explanation?
Yeah, yeah. I thought some of the most fun stuff. Funny enough, the star of Media Night might have been Jameis Winston.
Yeah, so Jameis had some good moments. So he was around throughout the entire night, and his big thing was he was handing out W's, right? We all remember like eat a W thing, all right? And so it was a smart idea. They had W cookies made, right? Really good idea. And they were throwing them at people, including Andy Reid.
Coach, man, I'm honored to grow up during this time to see you coaching in multiple Super Bowls for my favorite team and now for the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, I hope I could play for you one day. I know it's free agency. Can you do one thing for me, though? Can you eat a W with me? Can you catch?
I can catch.
Thank you, Coach. I enjoy watching your punt, pass, and kick competitions.
Yeah, I wish I could throw it as well as you did.
Thank you, Coach.
Honestly, yeah. Jameis confirmed backup for Patrick Mahomes next year. They'll have a backup quarterback next year. Andy loves a veteran. Loves a guy who's been around the game a little bit, although I say he goes with the more boring, I feel like, the Henny, Wentz, like they feel like more stable.
I think for
Jameis
too.
Is kind of a wild card. He doesn't go with wild card versions of backups very often.
I also think if you're Jameis, if you know you're going to be a backup, he usually has gone places where there's a path to eventually play, either because of bad performance or someone's injury prone. You know, he went to Cleveland. There was a good chance that Deshaun was going to either get hurt or have bad play. You know, he's been in other spots. He was in New Orleans. He's like, just in case Derek Carr gets hurt, like, which has happened. Like, I think that's the other issue. But maybe a year or two, I think it could be 2 years from now before Jameis would ever be a backup in Kansas City. He'd be an entertaining backup, to your point, to have. But then he also went around and he talked to Chris Jones. Jameis Winston did at opening night.
You've been here before, man. You going for your fourth, Super Bowl with this organization, man. What all of us really want to know here today, brother, is what's your favorite color?
He had Chris dying.
Favorite color is always red, man.
Red? Do you be seeing red when you be sacking quarterbacks, man? Because you're not pleasant when you're in the backfield.
You know what? I do see a sea of red, man. I do see a sea of red.
Okay, so when you push my right tackle in my lap, were you thinking about the sack or were you just trying to hurt my right tackle?
I was definitely thinking about the sack. Okay. I was definitely thinking about the sack.
So that was Chris Jones having some fun there with Jameis Winston. Jameis was great the whole night.
If you caught any of the social clips, it was really good.
On NFL Network. There's also, I think Bob and Dusty caught up with Jameis just walking real quickly in the hallway. If you go to our social media channels, the video's up there. Back to the future of somebody in this organization. How about Travis Kelce? Because he was asked where he sees himself in 3 years. So in fairness, he was asked given the year and
given
all that.
The prompt.
But this is what he said.
Where will I be in 3 years? Oh man, I don't know. Hopefully still playing football. I love doing this. I love coming into work every day, and you know, I feel like I still got a lot of good football left in me, but we'll see what happens. I know I've been setting myself up for other opportunities in my life, and that's always been the goal, knowing that football only lasts for so long. You got to find a way to get into another career, into another, you know, profession. And I've been doing that in my off seasons. But for the most part, I plan on being a Kansas City Chief and playing football.
When you couple that with the fact that Clark Hunt was asked about it, again, on the interview with Dusty and Bob this morning, which you can listen to over at thefan965.com, when you look at that, he said he kind of expects Travis back. Like, he suggested, like, this isn't the last year. Now, look, 3 years. He's not playing 3 years. That seems like the longest of long shots. But I told you, man, we've talked about this with players before. You got 18 million reasons to come back to work next year. Not to mention another chance at a Super Bowl, another chance to accomplish all the things, another chance to pass Jared, whatever, right? Whatever he wants to do. I don't think he's out of gas yet, but he made it clear a couple of years ago he didn't want his last year in the league to look like he was out of gas.
I don't know if he fully knows if this is it or not. I'm with you that 3 years from now, I doubt he's playing as well. But next year, what's the feeling like if you win on Sunday? What's the feeling like if you lose? I don't know if he even knows that yet. Is it, you know, you think you have a chance to just ride off in the sunset? Is it also that, man, I can keep on winning? If I lose, is it, man, I can't go out like this. I have no idea. He may not know that. I think it would be interesting, though. Would he actually enter a season? Let's say he plays next year. Would he enter a season
knowing this was it?
Well, yeah, knowing it was it and therefore playing on the final year of a deal. Or some people have alluded to on the text line, if he comes back next year, would you be surprised if all of a sudden it's actually another year extension and they lower the dollar amount just to help the team, but then he technically has another year? I don't know if we'll get to a point where he actually is playing on the final year of a contract.
Versus, like, they reduce his number a little bit this year in an agreement that, hey, if you decide to come back the year after, there's still more money to be had.
March 1st or whatever, right around March 1st is the roster bonus kicks in. Now, they can do a new deal by then. He can announce he retires by then. He could say, hey, I'm not sure yet, and they can restructure it to it gives him till June. There's a lot of different things they can do. That answer didn't change a whole lot for me. I didn't hear that as of, oh, I'm playing 3 years.
It scares me a little sometimes when he's like, maybe 3 years. I hope I'm still doing this. You're like, oh, man, why are you saying it like that?
He's been open, though, over the last year about, like, he knows he's on the end tier, you know, of the road. But I don't know if he knows the answer yet because he doesn't know how he's going to feel after Sunday night, good or bad. Hopefully it's good, but and what that means. Because there's an argument, and I'm sure, in the tough decision on both sides of it. You win, you're like, well, why not? I can keep on winning. If you lose, you get the, like, do I really want it? This is the last taste I want in my mouth kind of thing? I don't know.
I mean, Jason Kelce left with his team falling apart in an NFC playoff game, retired. And I don't think he misses the game. But I don't think he feels like, oh, what have I done? He got asked about it because his team's back in the Super Bowl, right? You could see that you would miss it. Like, you could see, like, damn, had I just stayed. It's not like if Jason Kelce was the center instead of worse centers, they wouldn't be in the Super Bowl. That's crazy. They would obviously be back in it, and he'd have a chance to go out on top. I think for him, it's a lot of he still wants to be the man. He wants to leave the league still being Travis Kelce. I think I got a taste of that against the Texans. He's going to get another chance to get a taste of that against the Eagles. And even in the AFC title game, I know he didn't have a lot of receiving yards. You and I both pointed out he played a great game despite that.
He did. You mentioned Clark Hunt was asked by Bob and Dusty as well about Travis Kelce's future. Here's the quick answer he gave on that.
Travis coming back for another year? I certainly think so. I think he's enjoying playing the game. He's clearly, you know, one of the greatest tight ends of all time at this point. But I think he loves what he's doing.
I mean, that certainly seems like kind of guy's coming
a
back.
A big performance Sunday also, I think, makes the decision to walk away that
saying,
much
like,
tougher.
If you win three Super Bowls in a row, I can't – there is no scenario, really. I understand four. Please don't just, like, keep – or six in a row. There's almost no scenario in which you can leave more on top than, well,
right.
I'm the greatest tight end of all time, three Super Bowls in a row – I guess it's time for me to the old dusty trail.
No
and
doubt.
I think it might depend on how he feels a couple weeks after. I think he's going to have that, like, you know, it is the postseason, like, you're trying to make a decision about your future. Talk to Jason, talk to Taylor, talk to your family, talk to whoever's close to you.
I think the part that you and I, in 95% of the audience listening, that what none of us can actually have the answer to because we've never been in that spot, which is when you've played football your entire life, like, that is your whole life. And then you are trying to make a decision to step away and lose all of that. And what like that is a really, really difficult thing. And he's acknowledged what, you know, you hear guys all the time talk about what they miss the most. It's not the games.
Oh, camaraderie.
It's the locker room mentality. Yeah, camaraderie and everything that exists there. So that's just something that is ultra, ultra tough to judge. And, you know, any former player we've ever had on the show, that's the number one thing they mention. It's like, oh yeah, I just miss being with the guys in the locker room. That's it. Versus like, yeah, you love the moments of lifting a Lombardi
trophy
and all
that. You
got some of their
workplace, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Like you can go work at ESPN. It's not the same as being in a locker room.
It's hard. People are bringing up Jerry Rice's record. I can't tell you, he understands the history of the game, but does Travis strike me as a guy that's going to go chase records? I don't know, man. We all know he was willing to sit out games in week 18 to not get 1,000 yards a year ago. I don't know.
He's always said no, but I don't think all, like in the case that he sat out the season, he already had the record. The record existed. He had 7 straight 1,000 yard receiving seasons as a tight end. The record was 4. He already had it. He wasn't chasing some fictional record. Yeah. I think he chases wins now. I don't think he's chasing some fictional career receiving yardage. I gotta think that one is different. Jerry Rice in the playoffs. And look, someone's gonna break your records one day too. But you're gonna go down as the single leader in NFL history in yards, touchdowns, and receptions receiving in the Super Bowl, passing Jerry Rice. Ah, man. That'd be a tough one to shake skipping on.
I think the performance on Sunday could weigh into it too. Like, does he have a great game and it makes you almost on one hand, it's like, oh, then I can definitely keep on doing this, or if it's a quiet game. There's so many different layers to this thing. It once again will be one of the immediate questions, win or lose. After the game Sunday and then the weeks after, leading up to that March 1st or whatever timeline for a roster bonus.
Trash of the day.
A little later trash of the day.
Yeah, we had some Chiefs talk in there in the 11 o'clock hour, so we pushed the trash of the day back a little bit. This one takes us to a fight that occurred at a Chili's.
Okay.
A listener actually sent me this yesterday on social media. So this occurred in Nashville, where there was a couple fighting. It caused such a commotion, the entire mall where the restaurant was evacuated. Okay? That's how bad this was. The restaurant was one of those that are attached to a mall. The whole restaurant had to be evacuated. The adjacent highway was closed in both directions.
Excuse me?
So here's what happened. Police were called to the Opry Mills Mall in Nashville on Saturday due to reports of gunshots fired, eventually had the entire place cleared out while they investigated. The Tennessee Department of Transportation closed down the highway exit to the mall for the next several hours, even after police said there was no evidence that any shots were actually fired. Witnesses said there was panic as people sprinted out of the mall. Another woman said she was checking out the Bass Pro Shop when people came running through, yelling, everybody's got to go, everybody's got to go. This goes on to talk about how, I guess, essentially, a female reportedly came to the restaurant, assaulted her boyfriend who was working there. The fight spilled outside.
Damn.
That led to the calls of shots fired as people started to flee the mall. The victim of the fight at the Chili's is safe, but detectives are still looking into the initial assault and whether or not weapons were involved. So it sounds like there was fortunately no gunshots. But the fact that a couple, a domestic dispute, I would say,
how you gonna go
caused
your...
the whole restaurant and mall to shut down.
Okay, I've been kicked out of a restaurant, so
you
I'm
have.
Not trying to pretend like not
as like
for
a
this.
Teenager or what?
Like late teens, okay. Early 20s probably.
For yeah, what? Like,
we don't have to
rowdy?
Get into, you know. Well,
did you flip a table over?
No, I did not flip a table over. It's nothing like this, but you know. Things come up that occasionally allow for this.
Were you dating back a waitress at the time?
No, I was not dating a waitress at the time. I can't imagine. Like, you're just going about your business, and they're so mad at you, they burst into your work and then just start assaulting you. Like, can we just wait till this gets home? Like, I mean, we don't need a fight like this anyway, but you can't come
yeah,
to
well,
my...
Yeah, don't.
You can't come yeah. to my office. Now we're getting the cops called, and I can't work at Chili's anymore. Like, I got to find a new place to work. They're not going to let me keep working here if you're coming in here to beat me up.
What restaurant were you at? I want to hear more about your story, actually.
Why do you want to hear more about my story?
Did you throw chicken crispers across the restaurant?
It was a Denny's.
Did you take a baseball bat like it was a grand slam?
I didn't ruin a grand slam breakfast. Just, you know, sometimes things get a little heated.
At the...
But you got heated.
At your waiter or the waitress.
Were you in the wrong?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure we were. yeah, I wouldn't deny that.
The order was wrong and you just...
In fairness, no. It wasn't an order was wrong. It was a group of people who were there. It had escalated to a level of rowdy that they were like, can you just get the hell out of here?
Yeah, they're just loud and obnoxious.
We weren't fighting we weren't like physically fighting.
You were that group of people that was just way too loud, having too much fun.
And it wasn't fun. But it was like loud enough that they're like, you got to get the hell out of here.
Do you have any stories? Your wife, I don't know if she still does or not.
She doesn't have any stories of people getting kicked out of Chili's, though.
Okay.
No.
She's never had to kick anybody out of Chili's?
No. I mean, other than, hey, you're staying here too late and we're closing and we'd like to go home. That doesn't count. I don't know.
That is an underrated, awkward conversation to have with somebody.
Yeah.
Because you drop the normal hints for a while, you
Anything
know?
Anything else? Can I get your check?
You polish a glass in front of them. You're essentially just like thumbing.
You're
like,
stacking chairs in the rest of the restaurant, and they're still hanging out at the bar.
You have a conversation, like you stage conversations nearby with the manager that are like, is there anything else you'd like me to do, boss? To close up? To maybe get out of here?
To close the place up.
You're trying
to
make
home.
It clear, and if they can't pick up on you, like, it's time to go.
Yeah, it's a very rude thing. Yeah, very, very rude.
To stay late or for me to tell them to leave?
No, to stay late. Yeah.
Catch the signs.
Like, if the Chili's is open till, in this hypothetical, till midnight, don't walk in at 11:55, okay? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Those people are
you're
the
resigned
worst people.
To the Taco Bell drive-thru, I'm afraid. Yeah. It's still open, you know?
913-586-7965. You know where this is going, Cody.
Yeah,
someone says, Cody cuts people off in line and gets kicked out of restaurants. What a role model, the kind of professor I want.
Teaching kids what, you know. Maybe this is the semester I finally invite all the students out for a beer after, you know. I'll be at the bar.
You didn't last semester?
I didn't.
Are they all 21 plus?
No. Some
well, then
can't
you probably
count.
Shouldn't do that.
Well, I won't invite the ones who can't drink.
I don't know. Then it's going to turn into... They didn't invite you? How come they didn't invite you? Well, I'm not 21. They still should have invited me all of a sudden.
I'll just say those who want to go and are of age, I will be at...
Do you think...
Mike's Tavern. It's not called that anymore, but you get the point.
Do you think they want to go have a beer with you?
That, I don't know. The fear of rejection on that is kind of strong.
All of a sudden,
there are some students
that see... Two kids show up.
We still need to find somebody from this past semester, correct, Gold, to come
in studio. Somebody's already offered. We were just waiting till after the Super Bowl.
After the Super Bowl. I want to have a student of his come in studio and be honest. The grades are already submitted. Mm. I want an honest
description. This person has graduated.
Be honest. What did you think when Cody first started the class? What was the weirdest thing he said? All this kind of stuff we got to find out. That's definitely a goal. All right. That's the trash.
This person said open until 10, which is true at Chili's. Last seating at 8:45. That never at the one that my
early.
Wife was
that's
at. That is early.
If you're open at 10, I can still walk in at 9 o'clock. I think that's fair. As long as
9:15.
There are people at 9:30 who would walk in. That would
if
get
you do 9:30
well.
And you're quick about it. That's pushing it, but you can get
Tip
by
better be good.
There you go.
You know,
there
you got to make up the difference.
That's true. All right, our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Up next, we go back down to New Orleans. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, tells us what stood out today from the availability, and we'll get his perspective on the rest of the week.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
New Orleans. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12, 15 minutes or so. We're expected to connect with Nate Taylor. Obviously busy down in New Orleans. Chiefs media availability just wrapping up. So we'll try to connect with our Chiefs insider from The Athletic as he just got done speaking to multiple members of the Chiefs. He was also, of course, at opening night. We'll also, in the 1 o'clock hour, check in with Dusty Likens, who has been broadcasting live with Bob and Mac throughout the early portion of this week. They'll be there all week long, and so we'll have to talk some non-football stuff as well with Dusty. I've seen some photos. I've seen some videos. I got questions. I don't know if he's had a hand grenade on Bourbon Street yet or not. That drink will get you, man.
It's only Tuesday. Pace yourself a little bit, you know. Maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah, Nate. It's only Tuesday, man. You know, you got to pace yourself as we head out to the Pheasant Fest Hotline. National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic coming to Kansas City Convention Center March 7th to the 9th. Visit pheasantfest.org. How's New Orleans treating you, man?
Fantastic, fellas. You know, we just had a little fireside sit-down chat with Clark Hunt amongst local writers, so that was cool. Now I'm outside getting a lovely breeze. New Orleans smells both great and terrible at the same time.
It probably just depends on which corner you're around, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You smell... Exactly. So, what's your favorite New Orleans food? That's what I was going to ask you.
I mean, traditionally, I like shrimp parboils. Last night, at like, I don't know, 11:30, I had smoked Gata sausage with onions and cheese and peppers. It was amazing.
Did you take some heartburn medicine before you went to bed?
No, I slept okay. right through
Good
the night.
You.
It was great. You know, which I guess tells you how healthy I am now versus how unhealthy I'm going to be by Sunday, you know, for this game. But the best part in all of this is you ask questions, you get to talk to guys, you get to obviously be in a new city, there's construction and security everywhere. And then you're like, oh, I still got a job to do. I still got to write something. What in the world am I going to write? You know, we've gotten this far. So, again, it's a dream. To be here. And again, thank you guys for having me on. And look, you know, I can, I guess, report here because this is the medium I'm on right now. But Clark Hunt said, I want to say less than 10 minutes ago, that he believes Travis Kelce will be back next season. Now, the important thing here, ladies and gentlemen, is he says he believed.
Yeah.
But they're going to, from Clark's standpoint, the Chiefs are going to give Travis time after the end of this season. Now, what that means for everybody is March. The countdown really starts in early March because, you know, that's when the new league year begins, free agency, all that jazz, starting to get ready for the draft. So regardless of how the game goes on Sunday, I think Clark Hunt's going to give Travis Kelce about a month to really consider if he wants to come back. And if so, will he play on the last year of his contract or will he – you know, will they, you know, add a year onto it to create some level of cap flexibility for 2026? So that's the thing that came out today that I think is most interesting from Clark Hunt.
We're talking to Nate Taylor. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. It seems like this year, you know, you tell me if I'm wrong, when Clark Hunt, does he always speak on Tuesday or so of Radio Row Week and Super Bowl Week, I should say, because they were quick today, whether it was in your guys' media availability there or this morning Clark Hunt was on with the guys Fesco and Dusty, that they got in front of this Andy Reid, Mike Florio retirement crap it ever started.
Yeah, and I caught wind to that. I knew it even before, you know, quote unquote opening night began last night. So it's one of the reasons why I tweeted it out when I did, because that was probably like the first couple minutes of just Clark being available to reporters. I know he was on NFL Network earlier last night, but yeah, I mean, can I just say it? Because of one idiot who has a because of one idiot who has a pretty sizable, you know, platform. God bless him. He worked his way to get it. But Mike Florio essentially created nonsense. And then I think 2 years ago, Jay Glazer on the day of the Super Bowl. Because you have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, 2 years ago, Fox had that Super Bowl too. Why is this car honking? basically on the morning of the Super Bowl, basically said, well, I don't know, Andy Reid could retire after this game, which was ludicrous at the time, and proved to not be true. So the Chiefs understand their positioning nationally. I think Clark Hunt has tried to demonstrate some good decorum in saying, like, look, guys, and he even said in this little fireside chat that, hey, that happened organically. I don't go to Andy, you know, before the playoffs start, essentially, and be like, hey, you coming back next season? Like, no. So they've already understood that. I wrote in The Athletic last night, look, man, the guy signed a contract extension through 2029. So you don't necessarily want this to be a Super Bowl storyline. But when we did ask Clark Hunt last night, that's why he gave one of the most definitive quotes I think I've ever heard from this man, because he doesn't really say, I know for a fact about anything.
Yeah.
You know, considering his role in the organization and obviously his standing within the league.
Nate, I know that these teams are obviously quite a bit different than 2 years ago. That's how the NFL works. Do you think this is a better matchup than the last time? Do you think that both teams are better? Both teams are worse. Philly's better. Like, where do you kind of rack up like the generic before we start breaking down some of the real things in the game, as far as where these teams stand from 2 years ago when they were obviously in an all-time classic based on the score?
Right. Yeah, I really think that question comes down to one particular player, and he doesn't wear a Chiefs uniform. How good will Saquon Barkley be at the very end of a historic season literally carrying Philadelphia here. I know I've made quite the comparison statistically that, like, hey, nobody has carried an offense more at the quarterback position than Patrick Mahomes. I can make a similar argument that no skill position player in the league has carried the team more than Saquon Barkley. He is the one shining light difference between this game. Look, I know that we don't have Jason Kelce anymore. I know that, you know, Frank Clark's not going to play in this game. You don't have Willie Gay, you know, to be an athletic freak in the middle of the field, or especially on the perimeter. Trent McDuffie's not a rookie anymore. But I do think the biggest difference is, does the burden not entirely have to be on Jalen Hurts? Because one of the differences, I think, from Sunday's game that we watched 2 years ago is, that's the best – look, guys, that's the best game Jalen Hurts may ever play in his career, and it did not matter because Patrick Mahomes had one incompletion in the entire second half. So you can't ask Jalen to recreate that. You need Jalen to have Saquon be just as effective, just as much of a threat, obviously score in the red zone, get to your fourth and short play so that you can do the tush push. You know, the Eagles didn't even get that opportunity, really, in the fourth quarter if you go back and you watch that game. So that might be the biggest difference. Outside of that, I mean, the Chiefs still have the best quarterback, they still have the best head coach, still probably have the better defense. Like, Saquon's going to have to, again, cap a historic season in terms of a 17-game sample. He played 16 games, I understand that, and obviously what he did in three playoff games to just get here. Can you do what James Cook couldn't, which is like two touchdowns and like 125 rushing yards? If he can do that, the Eagles will have a chance. But I think he has to be the biggest difference between 2 years ago and Sunday.
What's your sense? I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Spags last night at media night or not, but just how they're going to handle AJ Brown and Devonta Smith, who were there 2 years ago, but they're better receivers. But the Chiefs this go around have Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson.
Yeah, I did get to talk to him last night. We did not talk about this particular matchup, but I know that he's going to be coy tomorrow because we'll get all the coordinators. We'll get the assistant coaches tomorrow in a more traditional setting than, you know, last night's circus. But I would tell Jalen Hurts, hey, man, they're going to blitz you, and it might be cover zero blitzes, which means it's man-to-man across the board. You're just going to have to throw 50-50 balls and hope A.J. Brown comes down with them. Hope that Devontae Smith can get open slightly on in-breaking routes, slants, digs, obviously seam balls maybe. You still have Dallas Goedert to sort of throw 50-50 balls up too.
Sure.
But I think we're going to see a very similar strategy from last year, right? I was terrified, you know, just as an analyst, thinking like, you're really going to man-to-man Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Juwan Jennings? And let's not forget about George Kittle and the idea of Christian McCaffrey just like roaming out of the backfield. And Steve Spagnuolo, to his credit, said, I dare you. I dare you to beat man coverage. And Brock Purdy could not do it enough to win that game. And obviously we remember the blitz to end regulation in the Super Bowl last year to where, hey, you can't even get in field goal range because I'm blitzing and I'm getting you out of it to where you can't run the clock off. It's a similar game plan, Jalen. You just have to be able to not get turned around by the blitz, but also throw the ball to give your guys an opportunity, because I just don't see how the Chiefs don't play man coverage again, given how successful they have been when they blitzed and had man coverage across the board behind it with a capable cornerback like Jalen Watson to be paired up with Trent McDuffie, similar to what L'Jarius Sneed did last year.
Nate, on the flip side, the Eagles, look, it was right around where Kansas City's was this year, although the Chiefs really were without their second-best pass rusher for a huge chunk of that. So I actually think the Chiefs have the slightly better pass rush. Do the Eagles have, or does any team, I'd asked this question in the previous round, so I'll ask it again. They got really good young corners, but they're young. Do they have the bodies to guard all the people that Kansas City will throw at you? Because, like, I made the argument yesterday, not that the top three weapons aren't better for the Eagles, but instead that they were there. You all right, Nate?
I mean, yeah, I'm here. I can hear you.
Okay, I just hear somebody yelling in the background. I wanted to make sure.
No. Look, man, New Orleans is...
It's a place. Again,
it's just, I'm just walking. I'm just trying to get away from like more noises, more drills, more more sirens. Then I walk in, the guys, you know, the police officers, to their credit, or I guess keeping things safe, by just having a giant presence and just yelling at people for no reason.
Okay.
So anyway,
stop jaywalking.
Do they have enough personnel to stop everyone? Kelce, Worthy, Hollywood. We saw Juju last week. Yep. Kareem or Perine out the backfield. I think that's what makes the Chiefs really difficult to beat.
The answer is supposedly no. You got to hope that Patrick throws you an interception or two, because I think that's the only way the Eagles can really mitigate some of the disadvantages they'll just have on the field. They still, and this is not their fault, you know, Harry Rosen's had 2 years, and he's tried to make a stronger roster, and he has in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways to do that is have a younger, you know, pretty effective secondary. I love Cooper DeJean.
He's a good player.
Yeah, they still don't have anybody to cover Travis Kelce. And that in lies the problem. Because if you give too much attention to Travis Kelce, like the Bills, well, yeah, there's Juju, just going right down the field, you know, wide open on an RPO sort of play. If you try to put a lid over the Chiefs, which is essentially what the Texans did, then Travis Kelce can roam the middle of the field and, you know, sort of nickel and dime you all the way down and getting in the red zone. And then obviously, one of the best highlights we've seen all year with Mahomes falling down and Travis finding the one void in the zone. So if you're Vic Fangio, who I want to remind people has never beaten Patrick Mahomes, and kid you not, kids, it ain't been close. He's known for blitzing. He's known for trying to be the aggressor. Well, okay, the Eagles have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You are going to give one of those guys an opportunity on a blitz. You can't really do that with the Chiefs because they have more top-end speed. So they can go over the top if you choose the blitz. I don't know what Fangio can do other than say, hey, Jalen Carter, Brendan Graham, if he comes back and plays on Sunday, can you guys just maul the living daylights out of this offensive line and pressure Mahomes with four? Because it's the only time we've ever seen Patrick not be at his best, and he still had a marvelous performance, but the pressure was one of the reasons why the Chiefs did not score a touchdown in the against the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl in 2020. You're going to need to have consistent pressure with four, which was something the Eagles could not do 2 years ago, even though they had 70 sacks in the regular season. Now, I believe those numbers were inflated because they weren't playing quality quarterbacks. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I don't think they played a quality quarterback really this entire postseason. Jordan Love is injured, and he stunk. Let's just be honest. He stunk based on what we saw a year ago. Well, okay, now we get Matthew Stafford in the snow. We have a clear advantage. He was not good for, like, two quarters. And then we get a rookie in the championship game. And I love Jaden Daniels, but, like, he's a rookie. At some point,
clock strikes midnight.
You're not going to see everything that Vic Fangio has to offer. Well, now you get the best quarterback, and he has seen it just about everything, and he has more weapons than anybody you've played so far. So, I don't know. I don't know. The Eagles need to play ball control, and they also need turnovers to keep this from getting out of hand, because I can see the Chiefs getting up 10-0, 14-0, and the game script really, really squeezing Jalen Hurts into mistakes.
I know it can't be official till March, but how soon will you start reporting that you're hearing the Chiefs are trading for Myles Garrett, just to add to this whole thing, huh?
I know some people reached out today, which thank you guys. I don't really see it. They got to play George Karloff's kids. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the contract would be, what you would give up. The Chiefs are also not in the business of, like, giving up a first-round pick. That is a Clark Hunt special. Do not give up first-round picks anymore, because, obviously, the Frank Clark situation was a little bit different in terms of roster building. Patrick Mahomes, still in a rookie contract. He's not on a rookie contract no more. So first-round picks have actually become super-duper valuable. It's one of the reasons why they traded away Tyreek Hill when they did, to get an additional first-round pick. You might have to give up two first round picks to get Myles Garrett. And I just don't know if the Chiefs are in that sort of business right now, considering that they have the highest paid tight end in the league. They have the highest paid, defensive tackle in the league. you know, eventually they got to start paying some of those players from the 22 draft class, notably Karloftis, McDuffie. I just don't know if the Chiefs' timeline works with the Browns' timeline in terms of, you know, trying to get picks to restart their process.
Yeah, I'm with you financially. I mean, there's always Cooper Kupp. You know, they can just trade for him, too, while they're at
He'll
it.
He'll take way less.
Yeah.
Well, no, now this is where it gets interesting. Will Cooper Kupp get the same demand on the market, now that everybody knows about it, as L'Jarius Sneed? That's the question to me.
I think it's probably about the market. There are too many good wide receivers in the draft every year, Nate. Everyone shifted
right,
to that.
Right. And which is the same thing about cornerbacks. We are now learning that, hey, even though you play a premium position, there's another wave of young players who, if you coach them up right, can be pretty good pretty early on. One of the reasons why the Rams are trading or willing to trade Cooper Kupp, I should say right now, one of the reasons they're willing to do that is because they've drafted and developed Puka Nacua out of the freaking fifth round. So can you get a third round pick? I think that's where the question sort of lies for the Rams. And if you're the Chiefs, hey, what happens with DeAndre Hopkins? What happens with Hollywood Brown? That's more of a viable scenario, a viable backup plan than, again, giving up multiple first round picks for Myles Garrett. I think Cooper Kupp should go for more than a third round pick, but also he's older than L'Jarius Sneed and
also
you can get a receiver. Yeah, and you can get a receiver, and we have history of maybe that wasn't the best deal, which is why Mike Bergonzi is now tasked with cleaning it up.
I kind of say that that's one of the greatest hustles of all time, Nate. To be a part of the organization that stripped an organization and then getting a pay raise to fix it. Like, you did this.
Unbelievable.
It'd be like if I crashed Alex's car, but then I convinced him to pay me to, like, repair it. Like, but you crashed it.
Yeah, or listed your couch on Facebook Marketplace and paid for someone to take your couch, Drew. That was tough.
That was a tough day for
me. Yeah, it was tough, you know? Hey, it's amazing, right? And they don't have a quarterback. I think that was the worst part of the deal. We're all happy for L'Jarius Sneed. He deserved to get paid. He'll have a full offseason now to sort of see what his next phase of his career is in terms of playing through, you know, obviously an injured knee that has, you know, hampered him at times, even when he was with the Chiefs. But you can't trade. You can't do that trade and not have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback, okay? Yeah. So for Mike Bergonzi, and I think people in Nashville need to probably understand this, like, they might just stay at one and not take a quarterback. Because you know who did that 13 years ago? That was the Kansas City Chiefs. And you don't necessarily push the burden on a quarterback now when you realize, A, you don't have the roster to compete, and B, you know that there's not a good quarterback in this draft that's nearly similar to Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or even Drake May, for that matter. Drake May had a very good rookie season, you know, comparable to, like, historically what a quarterback can give you when they play, you know, the majority of their games in their rookie season. Just take – hey, Mike Bergonzi, take the best player. Start from there.
Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. Enjoy New Orleans, man. We appreciate you calling in. I guess based on what you said you had for dinner last night, get some gumbo for lunch or something.
Oh, yeah, I know. I gotta find somewhere to eat, man, to crank out too many words because, you know, it's the Super Bowl. So like, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? Yep. So happy to be doing this with you guys.
There you go. Nate Taylor joins us each and every week here on 96.5 The Fan. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Like, if the Titans don't draft quarterback one, that's fine. But I know, Drew, you were nodding your head over there. That doesn't mean Mason Rudolph should be the starting quarterback next year, though, man. That's not what that means either, though.
They shouldn't pay anybody else, though. Like, they shouldn't pay Sam Darnold. They shouldn't pay Will Levis. They should stink again and get a quarterback next year.
But you can stink again and You can stink again and still start Jameis Winston.
You also have a head coach Jameis. Yeah, you also have a head coach going into year two. Like, he knows if they win three games next year, he's getting fired. He just is. Your guy, Callahan.
I mean, if they know that it's Will Levis at quarterback, I don't know what else Bergonzi and company wants from the
Callahan will not get a third year if they finish with a three-win
record. I understand
again.
That you have to know your roster, though. I think, in fair, you're not giving your guy a fair
but
shot.
But you mentioned it. Like, go start and sign Jameis or somebody like can actually win some. Mason Rudolph, come on. Like,
No. Russ, Justin Fields, at least those are like, those are bad starters in which you're not going to win. But it's only going to take a one-year deal and no risk.
Yeah, Russell Wilson would be brutal. Although, rumors are that he's going to Vegas, which I just, I don't get
the reason that I say
Please,
that is what difference does six versus three make? If you're three, at least if you're three, you get
for
some,
a first-year GM and a second-year coach, it's progress. You can sell progress. That's all.
But you still don't have the answer. A quarterback, if you sign a guy for 1 year, it doesn't.
Well, next year,
you're moving backwards.
Maybe you're in position to mortgage your entire draft pick. You think the team is the quarterback away, and then you're willing to trade multiple picks. Right now, number one.
One. Yeah, see, I'd just take a quarterback, and if it's, I just Josh Rosen.
Take
is
Abdul Carter,
you know,
number one.
I'd flush it. I would just take whoever at quarterback, and then if it didn't work,
I'd flush it. If I'm not taking a quarterback, I'm trying to trade back. Yeah,
no, that's what I said. I'm taking a quarterback. And if he stinks, I'm just flushing it and going back to the well again. I don't care about, like, I'm not just taking some good defensive player.
If they don't like Cam Ward, that's fine. I don't take Abdul Carter, who's supposed to be great. I would stockpile some picks. My organization is a long ways away from winning. That's what you're arguing, too. So go ahead and trade back. And I think he'll be a great player. But
it makes sense for them to trade back, especially because they lost the pick to Snead. They don't have any. They have less picks than they had before anyways, even amidst them not playing well.
That's very true. We'll work in a random question maybe in the 1 o'clock hour. We ran a little late there with Nate Taylor. Good stuff from New Orleans. Up next, though, we do have to let you know what Terrell Owens is saying about what the Chiefs are accomplishing. And we're going to check back in with somebody else in New Orleans here in 20 minutes. Dusty Likens. It looks like, based off of social media, he's currently eating beignets. So, well, hopefully the cell phone is going to be covered in powdered sugar or whatever in a second. But we'll check in with him next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.